Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
As former lead anchor and studio host for NBC Sports Golf Channel, Craig Cant attained his lifelong dream of becoming a network broadcaster. He then progressed to chief communications officer for the LPGA, where he was part of a dynamic leadership team that raised the organization to new levels of prosperity. Today, as the founder of Can Advisory Group, he delivers custom workshops, seminars, and keynotes focused on leadership, message delivery, and personal and professional brand development. He's called The Elevator. Find out why today on the Soar to Success podcast. Welcome to the Soar to Success podcast, Craig. I'm really thrilled to have you today.
Well, it's my honor. I've been following what you've been doing, and it's really neat to be included with all the special people that you focused on. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, great. Well, why don't we get started by just talking briefly a little bit about what you do now and why you do it. And then let's go to how you came to be doing this.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we're all in the midst of this change, and so I think we all have to figure out ways to pivot. I have a few friends who've said, Craig, I really want to do what you do. You know, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to run my own business. And I say, really? Well, that sounds great and everything. It goes terrific until all of a sudden something comes upon us like a global pandemic that we've dealt with for months upon months. And then it becomes a question of, you really want to be an entrepreneur? Yeah, that's great until you really have to be an entrepreneur. And that means having to fight through some things, having to be told no, having to pivot, having to change, having to help people in different ways than you might have imagined a year ago, 2 years ago, or whatever it might be. So what am I doing right now? I lead Can Advisory Group. I started it in 2016 after years in communication and broadcasting, as you know. And I travel the country doing keynotes, not as much now because of how things have changed, but I also do workshops and webinars based on leadership and communication and presentation. I call it communication, presentation, branding, and bonding because it's a group exercise for corporations. And I've worked with companies like Accenture and Transamerica and Gallagher and Titleist and a lot of brands that you would recognize. And I help people try to figure out not how to become the best public speaker in the world, but how to become their best presenter. And there's a difference. And I help people with learning their company story and also learning to deliver the best of themselves and give people an idea of who they are. Because as you probably realize, people buy people first and then they buy brands. So I've really enjoyed it. I get to work with a lot of people. I stand in front of groups and keynotes of 600 or 800 or 1,000 people. Sometimes maybe only 50, but my workshops are like 20 people because I can really connect with them. And I truly enjoy hopping on an airplane and going and visiting with people.
That's really excellent. And so I saw on your website that you say that you help people learn what it takes to become the green shoe. I want to be the green shoe. What's that?
Well, in my presentation, and you'd have to kind of be there to see it all play itself out, but I've got this one slide that has about six pairs of white shoes and one pair of green shoes. And the green shoes really stand out. And the point that I make to people in my workshops and my keynotes is we've got to find a way, more so today than ever before, to find a way to stand out. Our businesses require that. Our industry requires that. We need to kind of be disruptors in a way because you can't do it how everybody else does it. Like, if somebody said, Craig, I really enjoyed your workshop because it's like this other one that I went to, I'd say, oh boy, that's an epic fail. I got to change it. I want mine to be different and unique. And so what I help people with is trying to kind of dig within, figure out who they are, what their best success stories are, how to share their stories with other people to connect and create that, you know, that thing that we all really require, right, is engagement. It's like currency today because so many people are talking and it's very difficult to actually get people to pay attention to you. So we've got to get people to focus when they're so unfocused in this world of so much noise. It's not that easy. So the green shoe actually becomes a little trophy, and I've got a bunch of them here that are ready to go when I go travel. And somebody in my workshop, each time I go out, ends up at the end of the day with the green shoe because they truly stood out amidst all the people that were in the room that day. But they have to go through some exercises and some presentations in front of a group to try to earn that. It's not just given away.
Well, that's a really great analogy, really great. And have you noticed that it's gotten noisier since 2016 when you started?
I don't think there's any question. I think it's a society that we live in where everybody is talking. Everybody's got something to say. But the truth of the matter is that not everybody has something worthy of paying attention to. You know, a lot of people talk, very few actually say something. So do you have a message? Because that's where it all begins. You know, in communication, the message is not one of many things. It's the only thing that matters. Yeah. And I always say it's not the size of the room that matters. It's the size of your message. So in other words, if I'm doing a keynote in front of 800 people, or I'm doing a small group workshop, maybe there's only 18 people. I can be just as effective in front of 18 if I've got the right 18 in there, as long as they walk out the door ready to do some word of mouth marketing for me and tell people you should have been in there, or here's what he had to say. You know, our job in business and in life, in my opinion, is to make people remember what they're supposed to remember. And that's not that easy. That's something that I coach executives and people that run businesses. They have to learn their story. They got to make people remember their story. And there's a lot that goes into that.
And how do they find their story?
That's a great question. I mean, as far as my workshop is concerned, we go through a custom workbook and we go through these exercises, and they have to answer questions. We do it in a group, and it's really fun. It's probably the most impactful hour out of the 8-hour workshop, because everybody takes part and they think they know their company's story, but they really don't. You know, who are we? What do we do? What's our differentiator? What is our big three? You know, if you could only remember three things about our organization, what would they be? And a lot of people will have different answers to that. And actually, that's okay, simply because at the end of the day, if you go in front of a group, let's say you're in sales, by the way, we're all in sales.
Yes.
But if you go in front of a group, you might have a different passion about your organization than somebody else might have. But as long as you can deliver the main message and everybody can be on the same page with understanding what's behind the logo or what's behind the company, then everybody's better off. And that's what I kind of try to do, is get everybody singing from the same sheet of music and then coach them on how to stand up and stand out. That's the challenge.
Yeah. So tell our audience how you came to be an expert at presentations and all of your broadcast history, et cetera.
Well, I went to school. Actually, I'm going to go way back. I'm going to try to tell this story succinctly. I was that kid at 7 or 8 years old in Chicago that knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was in my room broadcasting my own games, and I wanted to be a sportscaster. And I went to a very large high school, played sports, but I also did radio. And I ended up quitting the basketball team my senior year. We were like top five in the state going into the year, and I wasn't going to play that much. And I had the opportunity to be a play-by-play guy. I then went to the University of Missouri for broadcast journalism, and I selfishly believe it's the best journalism school in the country. I was there, and I had the opportunity to anchor on the local affiliate, KOMU, the NBC affiliate there. I went to Columbus, Georgia for a year, the ABC affiliate there, and Reese Davis from ESPN was at the CBS affiliate. I was at the ABC affiliate. I was doing news and sports, but I got enough opportunity to do sports, and then I went to Fort Myers, Florida. And I was at the CBS affiliate there in Fort Myers, Naples for about 2.5-3 years. One of my co-anchors was Hoda Kotb from the Today Show. So it's amazing how things kind of move around like that. I then got the opportunity to go to Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, which I know you probably know a little bit about. And I spent 4 years there as the sports guy. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my agent called me. And this was in 1994 at the end of the year, and said, there's this new channel starting, a new network called the Golf Channel. And I was like, oh boy, that's pretty cool. I've been doing some golf at various markets and stops with PGA Tour Champions events and so forth. And so I had a passion for it. And so I sent my resume in. I guess there were like 1,000 people, as the story goes, that sent their tapes in. And somehow, some way, they flew me down first class for an interview. Now, they flew me back coach, which I always find laughable, but they gave me a whopping 24 hours to make the decision as to whether I wanted to be one of their original six anchors on Golf Central. I took that opportunity. I spent 18 years there. As you know, I did thousands of shows. I mean, presentation.
Yeah.
And then I got this opportunity to go work for the LPGA out of nowhere. Mike Wong, the commissioner, came to me and said, I'm a little outside the box on this. I want to know if you'd consider being my chief communications officer and helping our organization get to the next level. And I felt like those opportunities to jump into a C-suite level position and be an executive to help people and communicate a message and raise awareness and elevate a brand, that doesn't happen for most people. Yeah. So especially people who wear makeup and read teleprompters for a living.
So I figured I needed to work with Michael Wan too.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I learned a lot. It was, you know, it was a crash course in business and executive leadership and a lot of things that I didn't have. And that was why I took it. I mean, I felt like it was my opportunity to do something different, to spread my wings. And yes, I gave up television, the comfy studio and all that, but I traveled the world and I built a brand with an amazing leadership team and had a blast. 5 years into it, after traveling around the world, I felt like it was my time. I felt like there was an opportunity for me to take all that I had done. And I had kind of created a business back in 2009 called HTK Media, which stood for Have the Knowledge. And I was doing some consulting on the side. So I wanted to rebrand it and do something special with it. And then Can Advisory was born and I decided I wanted to help people and coach them to share their story and be better presenters, better communicators, raise awareness for their own brand, understanding that the individual brand really helps a company brand. Some people don't believe that. I do believe it. And so that's what I've been doing since 2016. And it's been a blast. I've met so many wonderful people. And I feel like I've really actually made a bigger difference instead of just a bigger paycheck.
That's really exciting because it is fun to be able to work with someone and see them transform in front of your eyes, right?
It is. It is. When I coach people, and these are executives, you know, because a lot of them, they think they know how to connect. And connection is such a big part of sales and business and everything that we do. And I always ask them this question when they get in front of people. I said, all right, have you ever sold a house? And they'll say, yes, I have. Okay. So when a realtor comes, they plop a for sale sign right in your yard. Now, when you get up in front of a group, I want you to think about realty, because what I want you to think about is me putting a for sale sign in front of you, between you and the audience. No matter how big that audience is, you are first and foremost selling yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you don't sell yourself, you can't make the connection that's needed for them to buy into you, trust, transparency, all those things, and get them to focus on the brand that you're ultimately selling. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is, really. That space, that real estate is prime. Not everybody gets tapped on the shoulder. Not everybody gets a chance to stand in front of a group. And that's where somebody has the opportunity to truly transform themselves. But they go through this exercise. Like, I'll work with people from organizations for a day and a half. And it's like a little bit of a boot camp. We everything is custom, and we go through their skill sets, their strengths, their success stories, and they learn how to build that storyline into the sell or sales of their organization, because they have to merge. They have to be together.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you work with them on executive presence also?
It's funny you asked that question. So KPMG was one of the first organizations that I worked with, and I had had a relationship with them from my days at the LPGA because of the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. And the other one was SAP. And both of those organizations, when I first came in, or my background suggests that I'm the, you know, guy in the suit that, you know, is on television and all of that. And I'm understand the topic of presence. And so, yes, I spent a lot of time with people on how to walk in and own the room, you know, how to get people to pay attention to you, how to have a message and not just be spouting off. All those things are really important. How you dress, how you carry yourself in difficult situations. I tell that story in my workshop. When I was at the LPGA, I got to rewrite the crisis communication plan for the organization. And when you have the war room, if you will, of people in there, you need people that can be calm in difficult situations. And that's something, nobody pays attention to you when everything's going great. But when it hits the fan, all the eyes are on you because they want to see how you react. And, yeah. And presence is a really big thing. How you dress, how you carry yourself, how you interact, how well you listen to people, and how well you communicate internally and externally is all a part of it.
So if you could just give like three tips to people, small business owners, that could make an impact on the way they present their message, what would you say?
So I'm gonna go maybe a little bit differently than just three traits. I'm gonna give you three words, all right? And this is something that I really truly believe in. And I coach with people what I call the back pocket speech or the back pocket presentation. In other words, let's say you're on the road and it doesn't matter if you're in Portland or Kuala Lumpur, I've been to both, this message will be adaptable and will work for any audience. So you can pull it out of your back pocket on any given moment. To me, the words are the three C's. Now, this is what I remember. And the reason I do this is because I won't forget it. So for you, it might be some other words. It might be something else. But we live in a rule of threes. Those are ways we can remember. I mean, you just asked me for three traits. So I'm going to give you three C's, three words. And the first one is commitment. So if I'm talking to business owners or if I'm talking to anybody, the first thing you have to be committed to is yourself. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but I firmly believe that our number one client is us. Because if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't focus on your own brand and your own way and the way you're going to put it out there and be strong and you know, committed to, there might be some bumps in the road, there might be some failures, there might be some no's, et cetera, then you're not going to make it. So you have to take care of yourself. So my first C is commitment. That is a commitment to your vision, a commitment to your work ethic every day, a commitment to the people around you, a commitment to the clients that you might have, or a commitment to showing potential clients that you're going to be there for them. And that ultimately it's a partnership. So commitment is number one. And that's the thing that I believe it all starts with. My number two C is connection. Now, connection is kind of a buzzword and all that. But if we don't connect with people, we don't ultimately have them in our camp. Now, when I coach public speaking, I talk about three H's. Now, I'm getting off the track here, but you gotta, when you have an audience in front of you, you've gotta hook them, then you've gotta hold them. And if you can do that and you give a presentation that's worthy, that's exciting, that's engaging, you will have them at the end. There's my third H. And you'll have them walking out the door so emotionally charged, they'll share it with everybody else. So we've gotta make the connection first. I've gotta walk in the room. I don't know if you realize this. How what do you think the average attention span is for a human being? What would you guess?
For people right now?
Yeah.
Well, I know because we're in the video production world that about 90 seconds is as long as people want to watch a video.
Okay, that's true. That's true. And that takes me back to my college days when I was in broadcast school. And one of my professors always made this comment, you can't preach to anybody unless you get them into the church.
Yeah.
And it's so true. You think you've got a great audience, but until they show up and until you can keep them there, they're not going to be paying attention.
So are you talking about in a when you're doing a presentation?
Yes.
And so how long is the presentation?
The average attention span of a human being is 8 seconds.
Eight?
That's it. Now, if you look it up on Google, you'll also find that the average attention span of a goldfish is 8 seconds. And I mean, that seems like no time at all. Now, I did a workshop once and a guy raised his hand. He says, I beg to differ with you. 8 seconds is a really long time. Everybody looked at him and I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was a professional bull rider for 18 years. And if you sit on a bull for 8 seconds, that's a long time. Everybody laughed and it's true. Okay, but the average attention span is 8 seconds. So when you get up on the stage or you're on a conference call, again, that's a public speaking opportunity, or you write an email, you have very limited time to get people's attention. So we have to make a quick connection with people. We have to engage them. We have to show up on the stage with something to say that brings them in, something that wows them. So commitment is number one. Number two is connection. I've got to be able to make that. So if I'm running a business, I've got to connect with every customer out there. I have to make it personal. I have to make them feel like I truly care about them, not my bottom line and my dollars and cents. That's not what matters. That will all come, but I got to make them feel like I'm emotionally connected to them with their best interests at mine. You got to think about the check writer first. Okay. So connection is big. The third C is probably the one that will determine in my mind, the longevity of your success as an organization. And that is community. So commitment, connection. And if you do those things, you'll build a bigger community. Now, we can't, in social media world that we live in, chase for followers. We've just got to do the work. We've got to put content out there, as you know. And if you do that and you continue to put value out there, your community will grow. Your following will grow. It will become bigger. And ultimately, we're only as good as the community that we can build. I talked a lot about Paul Revere in my talk. And that, if you can think of that, you know, kind of as a mindset, what you need with every organization, yourself as well, for your readers, your followers, you need people riding around on a horse, getting people to pay attention, and somebody that's an advocate for you. So ultimately, we live in a world now where word of mouth marketing is bigger than ever, because we live in social media world, we live in something different. And I'd rather have a bunch of references and testimonials than I would a big marketing budget. I just want people to go say, hey, I spent time with Craig. I spent time with Kan Advisory Group. I was in his workshop. I saw Frank or Chris or Christine get the green shoe. And then somebody says, well, what's that all about? And then they have to tell the story. And so if somebody says, what is Kan Advisory Group? I say, we get people talking, right? Now, I can get people to learn to speak and present more effectively, but I'll also make them a better presenter so that people will pay attention to them and then go talk about what they just heard. In other words, we get people talking about what we just talked about. So those are my three C's: commitment, connection, and community. Hopefully that works for you.
Yes, those are fabulous, fabulous. So tell me how you think things have changed now that you can't be flying all over creation like you normally do. So what are you up to?
I'm up to my eyeballs and trying to figure out the best way to help people with this little camera that's right in front of us, because ultimately that's the new world that we're living in. And I don't think we're going back, to be honest. I feel like a lot of companies are going to figure out that they can do a lot more with less and save money. I think a lot about not just myself as a business owner. You know, I mean, these are struggles. Let's face it. I'm going to be transparent. It's not the world that I want to be living in. I want to be walking out my door, carrying my banners that I pop up in a room, have my 20 people with my custom workbook doing my workshop.
Yeah.
Now it might be a webinar. Now it might be a virtual keynote that I do. Mm-hmm. But we have to get people to understand that we're probably not going backwards. So they need to get comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable. And this little camera makes some people uncomfortable, but that's really a window of opportunity. And what I'm trying to help companies with, and I've got some partners in this, I don't want companies to use virtual conferencing, if you will, or virtual meetings as just a part of their business. I want to make it a competitive advantage for them in their industry. In other words, take you, for example. I don't want you to just do this because you have to do it. I want you to make it a part of what you do that you're the best possible talent at. So people say, man, that was amazing. Now, can you make people be engaged? Can you get them to not be on their phone? There's a lot of strategies involved. We're only as good as the content we put up there. If we have terrible content, I could be the best presenter in the world, but my presentation is not going to be very good. So I coach people on how to warm up to this. And that's what I've been doing a lot of webinars. My podcast, Tracks to Success, has been a lot of fun. Just launched season 2, so I'm really excited about that, bringing inspiring people and their stories together. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
I saw on your website that you have some webinars that are free that people can go grab.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've learned something, and I think this is a big part of what I would tell anybody that's starting a business or trying to carry a business forward. You've got to be able to adapt, and you've got to be able to give back. You have to not put money in front of everything else. I do a thing called Free Fridays, where I'll book 8 hours of my day, and people can sign up for a 1-hour free consult with me. Now, I'll be honest with you, at the end, you're going to find out, you're going to learn a little bit about what I offer, and then I might end up having you as a client moving forward. But I'm going to give you a solid hour of my time, not selling myself, but I'm actually going to pay attention. We're going to work together, and I'm going to share some questions with you, et cetera. So I do that for free. I do other webinars for free on the power of presentation, branding, and some of the other things, learning to connect, knowing your story. All those things I think are important to give people a little bit of something so that they ultimately want more. And I think that's a success for anybody out there, or a key to their success, to try to give a little without asking for stuff. Like when I was in the media on a day-to-day basis, and I still work for SiriusXM on the PGA Tour side, but as a reporter, I would go on the range talking to golfers when I didn't need anything. I think that's important to go there when you don't need an interview, to engage people in conversation. I had a business coach, and this is probably important for people. When I launched my company, I didn't go in it completely blindly. I used a network, my network, to my advantage, not to beg them for work, but to beg them for thoughts. And I had a business coach tell me something I've never forgotten. When you're on the phone talking to people, and let's say you're looking for a job, or maybe you're looking for your next client, treat it as a research project. Treat that conversation as a research project. Ask a lot of questions, be curious, look for answers that will help you moving forward. Don't be the know-it-all. I see a lot of people in their business, they say, here's what I'm offering. And they don't take time to find out what the market actually is asking for or what the market needs. They just say, here's my menu, eat off of it. Yeah. And that's not how it works. We've got to find out what people are looking for. And then we've got to serve those needs. So I think that's a really, really important thing for people.
We use that same strategy when we help people create online courses. Because so many people go with their idea, I've got this idea, I'm going to make this online course, I'm going to sell it, I'm going to make all this money, and everybody's going to want it, it's so great.
Yeah.
Instead, we have them start with research and go talk to people, find out what they want, get more details about what your content should be about that could be beneficial to them, and how much are they willing to pay for it. And then once you have that stuff, maybe you won't make it, or maybe you will, but it'll sell then.
During this time, there was another opportunity that I saw. I mean, I feel like we've all got a little bit more time on our hands to try to figure things out. And what I have frankly struggled with over the last 6 months is a balance of how many times am I calling people, trying to get them to buy into a workshop or buy into a keynote, be it virtual or in person. Obviously, we can't really do in-person things like that right now.
Yeah.
And how much time am I just going to spend leaving them alone? And maybe just working on the relationship and connecting, how are you doing, et cetera. I think it's important because I've talked to some CEOs that are friends of mine, and I've asked them what their biggest challenges are and have been during this challenging year of 2020. And a lot of them have said, I need to do better at communication. And I couldn't agree more. We've got to, if you want to retain your top talent, you've got to find a way to train your talent. And I'll get to that in a second. But what's important is there are a lot of people at companies around this country that are sitting at home, probably staring out the window, wondering if they're going to have a job in 2 months. Yeah. Thankful that they might have one at the time, but wondering the direction, not only of their own career, but wondering the direction of their company. Like, will their company be successful in 6 months? Will it be around in 6 months? The time is now for everybody out there listening to this, working remotely, whatever they do, to start focusing on themselves a little bit. I'm not talking about, you know, bragging and all of that stuff, but I'm saying spend some time digging deep, figure out your strengths, your passions, where you might have an opportunity for a little side hustle. Start making your toolbox a little bit bigger with some other talents and some strengths that you have to make yourself more recruitable and better able to be retained when things get tough. Like, you want to become indispensable when your company is trying to figure things out. So all that is really important, and we have to communicate. So getting back to the comment that I made about if you want to retain, you've got to retrain. I think companies are going to be a lot leaner moving forward. They're having less people trying to do more work. But if you're going to try to keep that top talent around at your organization, you better give them a little bit of yourself. You better invest in those people. And I believe my workshop is an amazing experience for a day to give people a skill set that, quite frankly, a lot of people wouldn't do on their own because public speaking presentation skills is so intimidating, right? The number one fear among all Americans is public speaking, believe it or not. And number two is death, which makes no sense. I try to get people to die for the opportunity to speak. But, you know, that's something that I think a lot of companies can invest in, is helping their people. And you're going to have to tell your story now better than ever in a world where there aren't as many companies out there, and those that are there have survived. Now, how do we succeed and advance? We got to get our people to be better.
What's your vision for the future for your company?
Well, when I started, I wanted to be able to go out there and do a lot of talks and get in front of people. And I felt like if I did that and I kind of built something, that everything else would take care of itself. And I thought that that was important for me, but I definitely want to have people that are working with me. I don't want them working for me. I'm not into that. I want to have a collective group, Can Advisory Group. That's why I named it Can Advisory Group and not just Can Advisory. I want it to be people that we all work together. So we're creating a line of workshops. I've added a few people on board on the team so that when this thing all comes back to normal or our new normal, we're out there running and gunning and doing our thing and really spending time with companies and people. And so I want that to be bigger. I've got a book that's coming out later this year. I'm really excited about that. It's been about a year and a half, 2 years in the works. Wow. And it's all done in publishing stage. And so I hopefully believe that will lead to a lot more opportunity for speaking and engaging with people. My podcast has been really cool. So if you say, where's my vision? That was your question. My vision is to take what I'm doing and impact more people. Mm-hmm. And I want to be traveling. I like airplanes. I'm okay with that. I have no problem hopping on a plane, getting in front of a group, and after 8 hours, having them say, Craig, thank you for making me better.
Yeah.
Because to me, when you're talking about success, it's not about dollars. It's not about me having an extra boat or an extra house or a condo or whatever it is. Success to me is the value you bring to others. Yeah. To me, if that's not success, I really don't know what the definition of it would be. And I really enjoy giving people some of that.
That's fantastic. That sounds great. And what's the name of your book?
Well, that's the last piece of the puzzle. You know, it's funny because when we first started and I was working with the publisher, we had a book title because they did a press release on it. And she said to me at the time, she said, you know, just don't get married to this because when it ultimately comes out, it probably isn't going to be that. You're going to find as you've written it that you're going to change some things and all of that. And it's become completely true. So I didn't even know that I felt like 40,000 words was where it was going to end up somewhere being. And it's 54,000 unless the editors chop out a bunch. I don't know. But I'll keep the book title to myself because I don't know officially what it's going to be. I've got 13 of them that I just sent, and we're having a little powwow to talk about what the final product will be. But I can tell you this, my goal with the book title is no different than what I coach people on and what I would tell every business to try to do. And that is to make somebody walking through an airport or a bookstore see that book, stop, focus, pay attention, and pick it up.
Yeah.
And that's what business owners need to do today. They got to find a way to separate themselves. I'll give you one other thing. Don't know how much time we have left, but when I work with people one-on-one, one of the big things that I coach people on in helping them get to the next level with their brand is they've got to figure out one word that defines them. So if somebody said, who are you? Can you come up with one word that you're comfortable with in sharing with other people? Now, Can Advisory Group is all about elevating communication. If you look at my website, if you look at anything I do, I have a workshop called the Elevate Workshop. So if somebody said, Craig, who are you? What are you? My answer is, I'm an elevator. I go, what? That doesn't make any sense. You're an elevator. I go, let me help you with that. I elevate people to become better. I elevate brands to become bigger. And I elevate events to become grander. That's my goal. That's my purpose. And so I want to try to elevate anything that I come into contact with, people, the events, the companies, to go to the next level. And so I think that's really important in business, that we have a target and a focus on something.
Exactly. Great. Well, how can people reach you? What's the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, if they want to reach out to me directly, obviously you can go to canadvisory.com and the website, and you'll see my offerings there. You can find me on Twitter at Craig Can, same handle for Instagram, and you'll see some of my content. I'm really big into LinkedIn. I post a lot of different things, so check out my LinkedIn profile. But if you want to reach me directly without me sharing my phone number here, what I'll give you is the easiest way, and that is just email me. email the company info@cannadvisory.com.
Okay.
K-A-N-N, advisory.com. And that is the easiest way. I will immediately get that email. We can set up a conversation, set up a chat. I can listen to kind of your needs and what it is you're looking for, and we'll go from there. And if I can help and share a couple of things, great. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about building relationships and helping other people let their business soar. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So many great tips. Thank you so much. It was really a delight having you on with me today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. Like I said at the very beginning, I'm thrilled to even be asked and humbled for the chance to kind of get to know your readers and your viewers, listeners, et cetera. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll email me, info@cannadvisory.com.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit SoarToSuccessMagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.